Please, if you can open up the scriptures to me, with me, please. The first passage is going to be in Proverbs 29:18, and we're going to read this a little bit later. But something that I have to share today in my heart, and the title of this message is called Having a Vision in Life. And of course, we can talk a lot about this, and some people take to another extreme that everything should be perfect, and you should have a vision, and with your own strength, you should achieve it. And others, of course, we are much aware of that we know that who we are, it's because of Christ. And Christ who gives us strength, we can do things. It's Christ through us that we can achieve things in our lives. And we know that we have a vision or a sight that we look and we see. But also it's important to have a spiritual vision. And here in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Other translation says, people cast off restraint. And I was a little bit searching and researching this passage and taking a look, a little closer look. And restraint is actually, it's an act of holding something back. So with that being said, without a vision or a revelation, people no longer restrain themselves from evil things, if we can put it that way. And of course, we have to know that all our revelations, all our lives are to be according to the Word of God. There were many people that had revelations in life and that led them actually astray. And they began their own false religions because it was not according to the Word of God. But if I can put it in more simple words, it's the vision or when we read the Word of God is supposed to be alive to us. And when the vision of God is lined up with the Word of God, there is life within us as well. So with that being said, I just want to go back a little bit and just talk about our physical vision or our physical sight. And some of you guys know about a year and a half ago, I had a pretty bad concussion. And I fell about 15 feet. And that didn't feel good. Even though I got up right after that, I started walking. Second day, I wanted to cook steak. I thought that I'm a hero. But then a few days later, when the repercussion began to come and my head began to hurt, till this day, there are times that I still feel that way. There was actually a few months ago, I was working there at the building. And I actually felt a little dizzy. It was hot outside. I felt a little dizzy. And all of a sudden, my vision became blurry a little bit. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And I felt a little bit of a pressure on my left eye. And I was doing like this with my finger, and I couldn't see my finger. And I was going like this, and I couldn't see nothing on my left. And I got a little bit scared. And I was like, man, what is going on? And I asked for water. I lay down on a sidewalk just to rest a little bit. And little by little, you know, my sight came back and everything was fine. But that was the first incident that I experienced. How is it to probably lose a little bit of your vision for a moment, or to have a blurry eye and not be able to function the way you function? I know of a pastor. He's from Ukraine, actually. He's a teacher as well. And he was born perfectly fine. He saw perfectly fine, and he had a sight. But when he was playing with kids on the fields and on the farms, an accident happened. He lost both of his eyes. And he began to grow up like that. And it's unimaginable living a life only by remembrance of what you used to see, but you can't see it anymore. And that vision, so to speak, that he had, the plans that he had, it was no longer available for him. It was limited. And he learned how to read with his fingers, actually. There's special books or special Bibles were made for him and actually punched holes like with letters, and he would just go with fingers, and this is how he reads. Until this day, he's a great pastor. He's a great teacher. But you look at him, and he has no idea how many people is in front of him. He just preaches the gospel. But although he's doing that, it limited him in some of other ways. You can have a 100% healthy body, but if you don't have a sight or a vision, it limits you what you can do. You need help for somebody to carry you from one place to another. You need help for somebody to show you where the bathroom is and where to go. And while I was preparing this message, I was thinking to myself, if something happens to me and I lose my sight, just ironically came to my mind, I think I'll ask Pastorisa to give me that house forever where I live right now, because I already know where everything is, so I can go with closed eyes. You know what I mean? But it's just an ironic thing. If you think about it, how much information we receive with our own eyes. It can affect our thinking. It can affect our speech. It can affect our lifestyle. And it also can be a positive thing and a negative thing. To be able to see or to be able to have sight, it's a really important aspect of our life. If we don't, it limits us so much. There's so much we cannot do just because of that component that is missing. Brothers and sisters, same thing is spiritually. Same thing is spiritually. If we do not have a vision, if we don't have a spiritual eye, so to speak, if we're not inclined with the Word of God, if we're not living according to the Word of God, we lose that sight and we become existence in this world. We can function, but it's only certain things we can do. And only certain things we can fake it. But ultimately, the vision of God that lives within us, that's what gives us life and a purpose. And again, Proverbs says that without a vision, people perish. Russian translation, I like it a little bit better. It gives a more definite or more detail. It says without a revelation. Russian translation says without a revelation, and it doesn't stop there. It says without a revelation from above. And if you look in a regular, in original language, this is actually the idea that comes behind. Without a revelation, not just a revelation, but without a revelation from above, people perish. Or people cast out restraint. Without a revelation from above, people actually do their own thing. Without having a revelation who Christ is for you, without having a revelation what the cross is, without having a revelation what Jesus paid for me and for you, we can cast out restraint. We can go to the left, we can go to the right, we cannot live our life to the fullness what God intended us to live. I like that. Without a revelation from above, people perish. And when I was thinking about, without a revelation for above, you know, what is this supposed to mean? And actually it's written, Apostle Paul is a great example of this. It's written in Galatians chapter 1 verse 12. And it says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the gospel to Apostle Paul did not just came out of the blue. He was not just sitting on a lazy couch and all of a sudden the gospel came to him. But he was taught from all these great priests, from all these great men. But it was not enough because it was a religion that he was containing in himself. But the life of Christ was missing. So it came a moment in Apostle Paul's life when he was Saul, when he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden the gospel, the power of the cross, was revealed to him. And he began to live a different life. His life was miraculously changed. So an evidence of a Christian, an evidence of a changed life, it's having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Having this revelation from above that without it we perish. This revelation that comes and it came to Paul, it required him to change his lifestyle. It required him to trust Jesus Christ and forsake himself and to say, no longer I live, but Christ in me. This was a revelation that he had received from above. And what was all this revelation that he got? Ultimately, it was a revelation of the power of the cross, of what Jesus did on a cross that we cannot do and we cannot obtain with our own strength. But having faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we can live this supernatural life because he did it all for us. Praise God. Paul is a great example. And I want to mention one more time that the revelation that he got, it was according to the Word of God. It was in accordance. Some people get revelations, they're just off the wall. And all of a sudden they get carried out with revelations and they leave the Word of God aside. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about a revelation of the Word of God. When we read the Word of God and God opens up his law. This actually, if you read in Proverbs, the second half of the verse is actually what says. That the law of God, the Word of God is being revealed to us and we're walking in accordance and we have life. Ultimately, this is the intent that God has for us, for the Word of God to be alive to us. I want to speak about one man that had a call of God upon his life from the Old Testament. And he had both sides of the vision or I should say of the sight. Had a physical eyes that he was able to see. And he also had a call of God that God had called him from his mother's womb. And he was dedicated for a purpose. And he was living for that purpose a certain years of his life. And the name is Samson. And we all know that Samson was a great man of God. Anointing of God was upon him. He was moved by the Spirit of God. And it's unheard of for one man to come against hundreds and for the power of God to be manifested through his life and for the victory of God to be shown in those moments. But it came a moment when that vision, remember when I said in the beginning that twofold, the physical vision or a physical sight and also a spiritual. The thing is that our physical sight or a physical vision is affecting the spiritual life or a spiritual sight that we are to have. And Samson began to look around and he allowed compromise to come into his life. He saw this woman and he fell in love with, which was prohibited. And he began to chase her. And he began little by little. But that sight physically that he was not able to put a gate on affected his spiritual sight, his spiritual vision, his spiritual calling. And we all know that it came a moment when not only he was weak spiritually and he lost the battle spiritually, but there also came a moment when the enemy came and even took his own eyes, physical eyes. And some of us here today might feel like we have a call of God upon our lives and God is calling us to do great things. But ultimately we feel maybe this is not the time, or sometimes we begin to flirt with some things or some sins and we think that it's going to be okay. But those things affect our spiritual life. Instead of growing spiritually stronger, we're decreasing and becoming weaker if we allow those things in our life. And ultimately, you will never be satisfied and the enemy is going to come after you. And I want to encourage all of us to live our lives worthy of God's calling, as Apostle Paul says. We are to live our life in accordance to the Word of God, asking God for a vision from above and being inclined and together with that vision and following Christ. And it came a moment that Samson lost everything, it seemed like. He lost his hair, he lost his anointing, he lost his power. And he was in probably some place, maybe in the basement or wherever he was, and grinding and doing same old, as my wife shared a few years ago, like a miracle ground. You're just going around same thing every day. And some people, we might feel like that. That once we had this call that God has called us, once we had the vision, once God met us, but it came a moment when I feel like I'm in the basement and I'm just doing same old, like in a miracle ground, and nothing changes it. But in those moments where he was there in that place, God met him. God was actually working on his character. He was reminding him that, Samson, this was not the life that I intended for you to be. Yes, you did some choices and you ended up here, but I still have a plan for you. And it was a moment when Samson was maybe crying out to the Lord and asking God, maybe one more time come and visit me in that prison. Maybe one more time come and show me a purpose to my life. One more time come and remind me of the vision that I once had. And Samson had, I don't know how many days. I mean, for my hair to grow, it takes a couple months before I need another haircut. So I don't know how long Samson needed to be there for that hair to grow. But it took a process. I don't think it was one day deal. It took a process and he was humble before the Lord. He was understanding what he did. And God was touching his life. And God was healing the wounds. But also I believe God was reminding him, Samson, I'm not over with you. Even though you failed, I still have a plan for you. I still have a vision for you. Only if you can come back to me and cry out to me. And this is exactly what happened. In the moment when the enemy wanted to laugh at him, in the moment when the enemy wanted to make fun of him, in that moment the power of God came. And again, God was glorified. And this man that once was strong, now he's weak. He's finding his strength again in the Lord. He's reminded again about the vision that God had for him. Samson, you're not allowed to live for yourself. You are called to live for a higher purpose than this. It's not worth to live a life given to your pleasures because it will cost you. But is it worth it to live for Christ? Yes, it is. And that moment, the Bible says that Samson asked a lad to lead him to those pillars that was holding this temple or this building. And again, he did not have a physical vision. He was limited physically. He needed help for somebody to lead him. But inside, he had a full vision of Christ. Again, that one more time, God is going to use me. One more time, God is going to show his glory in this place. And yes, I'm here because of my failures. Yes, I'm here because of my mistakes. Yes, I'm here because I did not choose to be here. I'm here because the enemy has brought me here. But God is not going to leave me here. And one more time, I'm going to be used in that capacity that God had called me to be used. And Samson took those pillars. And we all know the story. The building shook and people died there, or the enemy that was at that time. God is able to use. God is able to use us. And if you and I sometimes feel like Samson in those prison cells, doing the same old and nothing changes it, remember there is a process while this hair is growing. Because if it's grown in 1 second, we might not appreciate the mercy and the grace of God. But when it's a process and we understand it better, when we realize that nothing is given for free in this life, but there was a price paid for me and for you, and we begin to appreciate the cross. We begin to appreciate the word of God. We begin to appreciate the vision that God has for us. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And the last passage that I want to share from the word of God is actually written in Mark. If you can open up with me in Mark. Chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. And then it says, then he came to Bethsaida, and he brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit in his eyes, he put his hand on him. He asked him if he saw anything. Verse 24. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everything clearly to this moment. It's just an amazing story. I don't know if this man was born blind. The Bible doesn't give a whole lot of details. But the Bible does talk about that there was a man that was blind and he was in need. The blindness that he had physically limited him what he can do physically. And the blindness sometimes that we have spiritually also limits us what we can do spiritually. And this man understood that he needs a touch from Christ. He needs a healing. He needs to see, to be able to function, to be able to do what God has called him to do. In different words, he needed to have this vision. Because maybe all the things around him seemed impossible for him because of his situation. And he wanted to be reminded how can I see it? How can I be reminded again the purpose of my life? How can I see things differently so I don't wake up to the same darkness that I'm waking up? And the Bible says that Jesus touched him once and asked him a question. And after he touched him, he didn't say just look around. He said look up. Look up. It tells me volumes just in these two words, look up. Because when we look up, the Bible says from there the help comes from. The first thing what happens when God touches us, when God reminds us of who he is, he tells us again, look at me, look up, look at the cross. Don't look at yourself, don't look at the situation you're in. And then look around you. Because if we begin to just look around us, we begin to see a little differently. But when we begin to look at Christ, it transforms us and we begin to see a little different. And the first time God touched this man, Jesus says, look up. And they look around. He looked and he says, what do you see? He asked a question. It's not embarrassing to be honest with God. So many times I find myself when I come before God and I've known all these prayers already and you know how to say amen and dear Lord and praise God and you know all these phrases. And we're trying to cover things up and to be, how can I be a little better? How can I just make my situation seem a little better to God? Like he doesn't know our situation. But he asked questions. What do you see? And this man had to be honest with God. This man had to respond. Sometimes when we are getting these touches from God and we're sensing His presence and our lives are being changed and God is asking us, or people are asking us, what do you see, what is going on? And we kind of so ashamed. Well, I don't know. Everything is good. Everything is fine. And we want to be this warrior so all of a sudden. But this man, he was honest with God. He was honest with the question that was placed to him with an answer that he was going to give. He said, I see people, but I see them moving like trees. In different words, I see people, but they're objects to me. They don't matter much to me. I see them, but it's blurry in my eyes. I cannot see them clearly. I see them, but they're not as almost the same as me, but they're like objects or trees that are walking or just moving around. And the Bible says that Jesus didn't give up, but He touched him again. He touched him again. And again, He asked him, look up, what do you see now? And he says, I see people. I don't think it was just a moment when he was just chilling there and he was saying, what do you see? Oh, I just see people now. I think it was a moment of joy and a shout of glory. I can see people. I no longer see trees. I no longer see people moving like trees. I no longer see people moving or being objects to me. But I can see people the way Jesus sees people. This was a moment of revelation in this guy's life. I can see Jesus the way you see. And ultimately, this is the call that God had called us to do. Because the Bible says, and we all know this verse, for God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only Son. His only begotten Son, that whoever lives, whoever believes in Him should live and not die. Whoever believes in Him should be saved. Whoever believes in Him should be delivered. And this was the mission and the vision of Jesus Christ coming to this world. This was the vision of God the Father sending His Son to come and save me and you, sinners. So we can look up and see only one thing, Jesus on a cross. And asking Him to touch us one more time so we can see people the way He sees people on that cross. That was a moment that He was asking, what do you see? And maybe it's a moment for us today that God is asking us, what do you see? Because the vision that God, I believe, that passage of the Word of God from Proverbs can be taken in a lot of ways. But to me personally, without a vision, Russian translation again, without a revelation from above, people perish. And I was thinking, why? And to me, it's when we start living a life, giving to others, we begin to perish. Because we let go all the restraints. And we live for ourselves. We live for our own pleasures. And we ultimately forget, why are we called to this earth as a church? Remember, last time I spoke here, I encouraged you to bring a friend or somebody, a neighbor who is not saved. Not to steal members from another church, but actually unsaved. And bring them here. I try to go sometimes with my wife to the restaurant and I just begin to witness and begin to share the gospel, invite them to church. And this is what I want to encourage all of us to do. All of us to do. As our sister shared that where she's doing missions, people are actually outside sitting because there is not enough room in the church and they're planning to build another church. And yet we have such a beautiful building here and we have so many pews that are empty. And it's my responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility alone. It's all of us as a church of Jesus Christ are to shine the light, preach the gospel, and have people come and get transformed and saved. This is the vision from above. This is when we come in the presence of God. God will give a heart for people. God will give us a heart to understand people, to have love for people. Because ultimately this is what He did on the cross. When we look up, this is one of the only things we can take example of. That He gave His life for me and for you. And we are to give our lives for others. Because there is no greater love than death. Praise God. All right, I have nothing else. I'm not going to make stuff up. This is pretty much it. As simple as that, we are to have a revelation from above that transforms us, changes us, and compels us to live for others. And if you don't have a vision today, you might have your own vision, your own plans, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the vision from above that transforms and changes us and compels us to live for others. And if we are away from that vision, I would like for all of us to just be reminded that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. You might find yourself like Samson. You feel like a failure. You feel like even, not speaking even the spiritual lifestyle, the physical eyes are gone already. You're lost. But God can restore you. And God can use you one more time for his glory. Not for yours, not for mine, but for his glory. Because ultimately that's why he came, to give life and life in abundance. Would you stand with me, please? Well, Christina's just gonna play piano. If this is you today, that this word spoke to you and you needed to be reminded of the vision. And sometimes we get tired. Even in ministry, we get tired and we just want to quit. I'm one of them. You know how many times I get tired and sick of it? And sometimes you just want to just go do your own thing. But ultimately, we're not called to do that. We are to keep our vision. Because if we lose our vision, we begin to live for ourselves. And that's what not God intended us to be. We are to live for others. So if you needed to be reminded of God's vision again for your life, for you to have the vision from above, a revelation from above, just come today and we'll pray together. And if any of you here today that you have not received Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, today is the day the Bible says of salvation. If the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and you want to just give your life to Christ, if you had hit the sidewalks and just running away from Christ and God is speaking to your heart, come back. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off for tomorrow, because tomorrow, the Bible says, is not yours. So during this melody, if you want to come, we'll pray together. And we'll just wait for God to remind us of the vision that he had called us to be. May God bless you guys.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. God Almighty, we just thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the touch of heaven. Thank you for your word today, Lord, which is indeed a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Thank you, Lord, for giving us as your people vision, Lord, for the purpose of our lives and for what we can do in the future, Lord, as you reveal to us, Lord, the path that you have for each of us. I do lift up the young today, Lord, in the sanctuary, God. I pray that those that are still in their youth, you would open their eyes to the wondrous future that lies ahead. The glory of living for you, living for the benefit of others, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for vision, for strength, Lord, for courage to see themselves as righteous and see themselves as you do, Lord. God, thank you for those of us who are older, Lord, for giving us just a renewed vision. Strength, Lord, to make it to the finish line. Strength, oh God, to finish this race that you've laid out before us. God, give us your power, Lord, that we may show this next generation who you are. Father, we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, God, that in your kingdom, Lord, there's no limitations because of age or experience. God, you call all to follow you. Renew our hearts, Lord. Renew our vision. Renew our eyes, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this word today. We thank you for this young pastor you set before us, God. We praise you, God, for the vision you've given to him, Lord, and to the team that is here, Lord. We thank you, God. We bless you with all of our heart, O God. Guide us, O thou great Jehovah, guide us, Lord Jesus Christ, into the future, Lord. Help us, Lord, to live for you, all of us, God. Don't let us draw back. For you yourself said, if any man draw back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Help us, Lord, God Almighty. Give us the strength we need. Father, we thank you for it with all of our heart. And we praise you in Jesus' name.
Praise God. And we are called not to exist, but to live a life full of Christ. Amen. So we are the family of Christ. We are the children of God. And we are to be rejoicing in the Lord. As I said, when this man was touched, I don't think he was kind of like, oh, I can see now. I think it was joy in his heart. I can see it. And I can not only see people as trees, but I can see the way Jesus sees. And this is our prayer today. And during this song that we're going to sing, I am a friend of God. Who am I that you are mindful of me? But because you chose to love me, because you came after me, because you died for me, I am your friend. And your presence is open for me. May God bless you guys. Sing together with us. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we can be called friends of yours. We thank you that you have called us to have a vision that comes from you, oh God. I thank you that we're not just existing in this world, oh Lord, but you have a purpose and a plan for each one of us, oh God. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to just speak to us today. Remind us today, while when we go home or to lunches or whatever we do, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, speak into our hearts that you have a plan for us. Lift us up, encourage us, oh God, into you, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, oh God. We praise you today and we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May God bless you. Please don't forget to just shake somebody's hand and just to chat. We're not kicking you out. And also next Sunday, whoever is around here, bring an unbeliever to the church. Ask your neighbor, ask somebody, bring somebody to church. Amen. God bless you.